Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Global warming or none like it hot. You're probably wondering why your ice cream went away. Well, Susie, the culprit isn't foreigners. It's global warming.
Global Wapu?
Yeah. Meet Mr. Sunbeam. He comes all the way from the sun to visit Earth.
Hello, Earth. Just popping in to brighten your day. La, 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 la. And now, I'll be on my way.
Not so fast, Sunbeam. We're greenhouse gases. You ain't going nowhere.
Oh! Ah! Oh! Ah! Oh! Oh, God, it hurts!
Pretty soon, Earth is chock full of sunbeams. They're rotting corpses heating our atmosphere.
How do we get rid of the greenhouse gases?
Fortunately, our handsomest politicians came up with a cheap, last-minute way to combat global warming. Ever since 2063, we simply drop a giant ice cube into the ocean every now and then.
Just like Daddy puts in his drink every morning. And then he gets mad.
Of course, since the greenhouse gases are still building up, it takes more and more ice each time. Thus, solving the problem once and for all. Once and for all!
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. If he saw a shadow this morning, there will be six more weeks of gridlock in Washington, D.C. Here he is, Mike Novak.
You know, it helps if if you don't break the microphone and you grab headsets that are actually plugged in. That's a couple of good things there. Welcome to the show. Hold on. Okay. We've got this little thing here. It's, uh-oh. It's going to be one. No, there we go. Now I can tighten it up. Okay. It's no. Yay, we're here. Look who's here. It's Sarah Batka.
I'm happy to be back, Mike. I missed you.
I know why you missed me, because the alternative was studying for...
aquatic ecosystems.
Wow. All right, come on, tell us, because you said, what kind of... I asked you, what kind of aquatic ecosystems, and you said...
I said lentic and lotic, but mostly freshwater. Ecosystems.
Lentic and lotic, but mostly fresh water. Wow. I'm impressed. Now, is that like lentic soup? Oh, that's lentil soup.
Lentil soup. Yeah, that's no alphabets.
So you succeeded? Did you pass?
We haven't gotten our grades yet. I sure hope so. Better have.
That's right, because you're the Cook County Master Gardener Coordinator. If the coordinator can't pass, that's not good.
I know. The pressure's on.
Well, it's so good to have you back,
I know.
Too.
I'm happy to be here.
And you got a nice, bright, summery outfit, and you've got your pink headsets back on.
Yes.
Yay! Yay for the pink headsets. I've had to fix that bell twice in the past several weeks because Lisa hasn't been here. And we're dealing with Lisa here.
Lisa's in the booth today.
She's in the booth today because we don't have our usual booth people. Usually that's Rob or
they must
or
be at
Carol.
The Air and Water Show.
No.
What? It was pretty fascinating to look over to the booth and see a dark room. We all
yeah, that's
each other.
What I was thinking.
How are we going to handle
phone calls?
We have an empty chair.
So learning on the job is Lisa Albrecht.
Trying.
Hi, it's good to have you back, too.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Happy Air and Water Show.
On a Sunday, we'll be here till a Friday. It's the Mike Novak Show. You say better here than the Air and Water Show?
No, I said happy Air and Water Show.
War and Water Show is what I call it.
Yeah.
The War and Water Show.
You know, it puts a kink in my volleyball schedule.
That's true. You can't...
No volleyball today.
Okay. Yep. Well, what you gonna do? You gotta take a day off sometime.
Yeah.
From exercising and all that silly. But speaking of that, you're gonna like the guy who's on at the end of the show today.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Greenfield, who just spent 4,500 miles cycling across the USA. On a bamboo bike.
I would love to.
Living off the grid, you know, like dragging solar panels with him and drinking only water that he didn't have to pay for.
Imagine the people that you meet, the experiences you have. You know, you hear these people on NPR all the time, and I'm so jealous. I would just love to take a year off.
And if you go to his website, and I've got all the information up at MikeNovak.net, if you go to this week's show. And by the way, on the homepage... Come on, you got to go to the homepage. You folks listening, you have to see the photos of my boxcar willies, my tomatoes that I'm growing in my backyard. They are the sweetest things. We've harvested a couple, and you'll see a clump.
They're called boxcar willies?
Yep. That's the name
of
heirloom tomatoes that we've been growing in the backyard. And the backyard's a little sun-challenged, so they're doing pretty well considering, you know, I had to sort of cite them. Let's see, maybe they'll get 4, maybe they'll get 5 hours of sun, you know. It's sort of pushing the edge, but they've done very well. And then if you scroll down, the funnier thing is the peanut plant we have growing at Green on McLean, our community garden. It popped up one day. It was suddenly just there. And I looked at it and I went, oh, it looks like a legume. I'll keep it going. It's going to be putting nitrogen in the soil. I'll rip it out at some point. So last week I'm over there and I go, okay, we need to put some other stuff in the ground. So I grab the thing and I'm about ready to rip it out of the ground. And as I reach around and I grab the plant, it exposes the peanuts that are growing from it. It's a peanut plant.
That's really funny.
And there's and you can see the peanuts growing. And I figure some squirrel left us a gift. You know,
hey, Rob.
Buried it in. Oh, my God. Rob's here, too. Holy smoke. Lisa, you could come back in here. Unless you want to sit in the booth with Rob and answer phone calls. No, she's getting out of there as quick as she can. You can see that. So anyway, so we had this peanut plant. Now we have a peanut plant. And I didn't plant it. It's pretty cool.
How come, Mike, like when I'm digging in the soil, I'll see peanut shells like that aren't decomposed? They seem to last forever.
Because they're made of plastic. Peanut shells in the modern era are made of plastic. Just gotta let you know.
I feel like those and then the avocado skins never decompose.
No, they don't either. They're made of plastic as well. It's like everything's plastic. Just... That's it. That's the answer. Okay. Anyway, I was going to say that if you go and Lisa, welcome back into the studio.
It's musical chairs today.
Yeah. And Rob Carthel. See, I should have done the Mouseketeer roll call, but we're
good. We're all in house. Carol has the day off.
Yep. Rob Greenfield, if you go to his website, you'll see that he rarely wears a shirt. And I don't know if he's going to have a shirt on when he comes in. But he's young and he can get away with it. Now,
well,
don't give him any ideas,
this
ladies.
This will help me not miss volleyball as much.
That's right.
Did you
that's
see right. his Twitter picture?
Wow.
Who's? Rob's?
No, I have not.
I haven't seen his Twitter picture.
But as soon as you talked about him being shirtless, Sarah and I were both turning our microphones on at the same time.
And going, huh?
This is not your normal gardening show today.
No, it's not. So Rob is the last thing in the show. He's going to talk about his trip. And you can go to my website and see all kinds of links, YouTube channel stuff. And I'm going to have to look at the Twitter photo. But before then, we start the 9 o'clock hour. Get your tree questions ready. It's funny because the last time we had our guest from the Care of Trees, a Davey company, proud sponsor of the Mike Novak Show, on the show, we did it at the end of the show. And of course, you get to 10:55 and then suddenly there's 8 phone calls. It's like, folks, you want your phone call? Call now. 773-763-9278. Skeet is in the building. You probably don't even know what that means, but he will tell us. And he is from, he's a certified arborist from the Care of Trees. And of course, we're all dying to know what is the story behind Skeet. Okay. Rick DeMille weather, of course, 9:45. We're dry. We're starting to get dry out here. It's something else.
Yeah, this is the first time I noticed my grass having any kind of a brownness to
yep.
it. Yeah,
yep. Let it go. It's just lawn.
I haven't had to cut it in weeks.
Yeah, that's the good news. But when it comes to your trees, you got to pay attention, and that's why Skeet's here. We're going to talk about that in the 9 o'clock hour. 773-763-9278 if you have any questions. And I might even ask him why my Heptacodium is dying in my backyard, but I think we figured that out earlier. In the second hour, you might have heard of something called the Ileana Tollway, which is a plan to put a tollway, connecting I-55 from south of Joliet to I-65 near Lowell, Indiana, and shoot across Will County and then Lake County, Indiana. And the Illinois Department of Transportation and the Indiana Department of Transportation are all hot and bothered about it. Apparently, Governor Pat Quinn wants to do this in a big way. Hold your horses. 3 conservation organizations filed a complaint in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Illinois about this project, saying this is not a good idea. And in the studio today, I'm going to have Cindy Skruckrud from Illinois chapter of the Sierra Club, Andrew Armstrong from the Environmental Law and Policy Center, and Lauren Schaub from Midewin Heritage Association. They're going to talk about that project. And then finally, I've been talking a lot about bees on the show, and if I'm going to thank all the people who retweeted, reposted the interview I did last week. I don't know if you caught any of that. Sarah, you did.
I was listening.
With Dr. May Barenbaum.
Did that.
Man,
fascinating.
It was awesome.
Yep.
If you did not catch that, if you don't regularly listen to the podcast of the show, and you don't have to listen to the whole show because I edited just this conversation, no commercials, from last week, you can go to my website, mikenovak.net, go to the podcast page.
Oh, that's great, because I will repost that on a number of environmental sites that I put it up on and people were listening.
Oh, good. Yeah, because you can go right to that segment, which is called What's Killing Our Bees? A Conversation with a Trio of Experts. And a lot of people have already forwarded that, and I appreciate it. But just listening to these people, these experts, they were fascinating. And if you thought you knew all the answers about why bees are disappearing, guess again and listen, and you'll get a sense of how complex the issue is. Not that using less pesticides wouldn't help, in my humble opinion. We use them too much, and we don't, use the precautionary principle in America. Basically, that's one of our problems, too. We put all this stuff out there, and then we go, oops, oh, that was a bad mistake. We killed off all our bees. How about that?
Who knew that these things could counter-interact with each other?
Yeah, really. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. And I sent you, we can't talk about it, but Danny Kennedy wrote an article, Lisa, that Tom Shepard from the Southeast Environmental Task Force sent me. It's called Solar Power at the White House. What took so long?
Why can't we talk about that?
Because we don't have time.
Oh, right.
But we will in the future.
Yeah.
Because we got some solar issues and
other... No, it took them 40 months to pull the permit.
What?
40 months to pull the permit.
Well, I don't... Is he talking in terms of how long since they ripped down the solar panels that Jimmy Carter put up? Or
no,
just...
that's more than 40 months.
No, I know that. Well, that's what I want to know. What took so long for the White House to put solar panels back up, first of all?
Right.
And now you're saying it took them 40 months just to get the permit?
Yes. Because you think about it, you're building onto a structure that was completed, you know, it's a couple hundred years old. I mean, I can't remember when did they build this White House? It was after the first one burnt down. I can't remember.
After the War of 1812, when it burnt down.
And so that may be 1830 by the time they finished it.
Who knows?
But whatever.
Some historian will correct us,
but
I'm
so
sure.
There were the structural considerations. There were historical preservation. And then there were just the security. Like, all the equipment had to go through, you know, had to be... It was manufactured, and then it had to be taken apart, checked for, you know, bad things, surveillance, you know, listening devices and you know, all that spy stuff. So I had to get despied.
And then debugged?
And then rebuilt.
I thought that was a computer
debugged.
Term. Debugged.
And then rebuilt. But obviously the White House can do whatever it wants to. And
they could have had this done in 40 minutes if they wanted to.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
So
it's like, you don't.
Excuses.
This is not how you set an example. Okay, it's like the Keystone thing.
Right.
Dither, 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 dither. Oh, I might approve it. I might not approve it. Oh, is it, you know, really, is it going to make a difference? I'm sorry. I'm really getting frustrated with this White House.
I am. Where I have to be with it mentally is just celebrating the fact that it's happening. There's so
what, the solar panels?
Yes. There's so much stuff that just has me down these days that I just have to celebrate the wins. And you know what? This is a win. And that's where I can't go backwards. I can, but I just choose not to. I've got to keep moving forward.
Wow. Okay. All right. And then finally, in the second hour, you can see how much we got going on this show today. Skokie, the village of Skokie, is going to vote on the bee ordinance tomorrow. I know. Grr. And apparently they're going to ban backyard beekeeping in the village of Skokie. So if you want to weigh in on that question, especially if you live in the village of Skokie, 773-763-9278, that will be at 10:30. So get your questions ready. I call it a giant step backward. Let's step into the past. The village of Skokie leading the way into the past.
Are we incapable of learning?
Fear rules all.
Come on, Skokie. Get it together.
Really? I know.
Get it together.
You got Lisa saying this, okay? She's the solar expert,
I'm the Pollyanna trying to see the world positively. Get it together, Skokie.
Yeah, really. Other suburbs have done it, and there have been how many catastrophes do you read about in the headlines every day about bees in suburbs?
Well, so why don't they want to be a leader on this?
Because they want to be a follower.
Because they're scaredy cats.
Yes,
you know
are.
What? Get over being afraid of bugs.
Precisely.
I mean, it just boils down to that,
I'm so
right?
glad it's you said it and not me. It's just get
bug.
Over being
so
afraid of bugs.
Wasn't that when you were five?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Let's grow up, people.
Yeah, and their argument is going to be
leaders.
That people could die from a bee sting. Well, you know, I can be hit by a truck when I walk out of here tomorrow or this afternoon, too.
Especially on Milwaukee Avenue.
Yeah. Well, not in this part of town. All right. That's all on the show today. Skeet is in the building. Thank you for being patient. Okay. I got to ask. What's a skeet?
Well, good morning, Bill. Good morning, Chicago. What a
Bill.
Great group here this morning, Bill. How about Mike?
Are you mad because I called
flustered.
You skeet?
That's no, all. Not at all, Mike. Apologies. Wow.
Hopefully I haven't gotten him before.
Oh, wait a second. Wait a second. Did that refer to a bill at some other large radio station that will remain unmentioned on this show?
Of course not. Not at all.
He
no.
Suddenly is
ow.
A little, he's looking pinker.
Ow. Gargantua radio down the dial bites me in the butt. All right. Here we go.
You're
and
better
a face
looking.
For radio with a red face. Yes.
Well, it's
yes,
a good thing people
I
can't
am.
See you.
Exactly.
All right, explain what Skeet is.
Skeet is my last name, and I just go by Skeet. And my beautiful bride is with me, and she took my name as we got married.
Does she use a first name at all?
She goes by Laura Skeet, and I just stuck with Skeet.
Uh-huh.
Thanks
yeah.
for coming, too, Laura.
Yeah.
Fun.
He is right. She is beautiful.
Yes, she
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
at least, you know.
Now you're going to make her pink.
Everyone will match.
Wow, everybody's
headset.
Blushing in the room today. Wait till Rob takes off his shirt later on in the show, Rob Greenfield. All right. No, I'm not going to ask him to do that. Okay, Skeet, here we are. We're in August. We had a spring full of rain. A lot of people, said, wow, I don't ever have to water my plants ever, ever, ever again. We've had 100-year storms. Suddenly we're in August and we're down water, aren't we?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a deceiving dryness because we're not getting the heat like we had last year.
Yeah.
And so people are thinking, geez, it's cool. This is great. Get outside, enjoy the bees and the bugs, and have fun out there.
If you can find any bees.
Exactly.
If you can find any butterflies.
And, boy, we are going through a dry spell here, and so the word is water, 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 and we can work on ways of identifying if the trees need water. You know, we already heard the lawn is starting to yellow out. Mm-hmm. The roots of the trees are right underneath. They're saying, where's mine? Because the lawn's stealing it.
That's true, and that's a really good point, and I make that point occasionally on the show, but it was not that long ago that the Morton Arboretum did this study on the effect of lawns and trees. You know, in the old days, I would, 10 years ago, I would have said lawns versus trees, trees always win, but that's not really the case. They don't help each other out at all, do they?
They really don't, and our lawn is our outdoor carpet. This is the play field. This is the let's get outside and get away from the TV and let's play and enjoy, and boy, if I get my lawn greener than my neighbor's, I win. And it's become a very thick layer, and the roots are right underneath there of the tree saying, hey, you know, I need a little of the fertilization. I need the moisture. I need some help underneath.
But doesn't
there.
That all trickle down to the tree? Doesn't it go past the lawn and then the tree enjoys the benefits of that?
With that thick thatch layer, with that thick lawn, and it's tough, and our seeds are being more and more improved to have a strong, durable layer there, the roots are right underneath. You're just not getting what's needed.
Mm. So, and that was what the study showed, that the lawn, and it's like a 90% interruption rate. I don't know exactly the exact figures on it, but the idea is that lawns do suck up the nutrients and the water that would otherwise go to your tree. So that's a reason why you shouldn't be trying to make your lawn compete with your tree. You should, having a mulch ring around your tree is a very good idea.
It's a single best item we can do for trees is mulching the trees. Mm-hmm. You know, as an arborist, a 1-foot ring around the tree keeps the lawnmower weed whacker away from that base of the tree, which is huge and important. As an arborist, again, 1 foot's great, 100 foot's better. We'd rather have your yard full of mulch than your yard full of turf. The reality is that's not going to happen. However, whatever we can do to expand the mulch ring properly, mulch like a donut.
And what do you mean by properly?
Properly would be mulching like a donut, not like a volcano. Keeping that mulch a good 6 inches, a foot away from the base of the tree.
Yeah. Don't pile it up to the tree. Think donut. Think donut.
Exactly. No volcanoes. Volcanoes bad.
Volcano bad. Donut good. Mm. That's Skeet, certified arborist from the Care of Trees. I see Michelle's got it. Let's just go right to a phone call, okay? 773-763-9278. Michelle, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you have a question?
I do. I have two dwarf lemon trees, and they produce lemons, but they never turn yellow.
Are they indoors or out?
Right now, they're out.
Oh, so you move them around in containers?
Yes, I bring them in during the, when it starts getting colder.
Yeah. Okay. And the issue is?
The lemons never turn yellow.
Well, I think I know the answer to that. What would you say, Skeet? Go ahead.
I would say let's get some light to them. Again, watering was going to be crucial there. And there's going to be a timing issue because they're indoor, outdoor. And, I mean, that's a... Illinois is certainly not known for the lemon capital.
Yeah, so. I mean, Michelle, the point is you can keep the leaves green by moving the trees around and moving them in and out, but that doesn't mean it's the optimum conditions and really not enough light for those fruits to mature. Right, Skeet?
Absolutely.
You got to augment it if you're going to even try to get this done. And even with grow lights indoors, I would say it's probably iffy, right?
Very iffy. And putting them near a window, I give you credit. That is a neat plant to try and work on and have success with. I mean, there's a whole lot of loving going on there.
Yeah.
And so there's some passion, and that's fantastic. Success, it's going to be tough to get success there.
But, you know, the fact that you even get lemons...
It's huge.
It is amazing.
It's amazing and huge.
So,
absolutely.
What happens? Do they stay green and then they drop off? Is that what happens?
Well, I had one for my older one is like 4 or 5 years old already.
Yeah.
But it for a while it didn't produce anything other than the flowers, and then we got a second one, and now it's producing actual lemons, but they're just not turning yellow.
Yeah. Well, you know, a light is all I can say. The brightest part of your backyard, the problem is we're starting to lose light now in August. It drops off dramatically, the sun. You know, start thinking about being able to give it 16 hours of light with a grow light indoors.
And the cool temperatures are just not helping either.
Yeah. So,
I mean, we get 50 degrees at night now, and that's just not going to be conducive to your success.
So you're a salmon swimming upstream, Michelle. But we congratulate you on getting this your trees that far, and good luck with them. Keep me posted if you do that. Let me know how things go. Okay.
I will. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great Sunday.
You too. Bye bye.
773-763-9278. Yes, Lisa?
I had a question. You mentioned the colder temperature. So now that it's cooling off a little bit, are we going to get fall colors sooner than we normally do?
Well, with the dryness and the cool temperatures, we've already seen some trees starting to turn a little bit.
Yeah.
And turning is also the moisture stress, and that's one of the indicators that, boy, we need to get some water to these trees.
Okay. I have a tree that's a great canary in the coal mine, which is an amelanchier.
Yes.
I have an amelanchier serviceberry in my backyard. Anytime it gets a little too dry, anytime it gets a little too cool, those leaves just go boom, and it'll be, you know, one little branch will suddenly, all the leaves on it will pop bright red.
Yes.
And then you go, oops, okay, time to water the tree.
Time to water the cups, the curls, the yellowing, the dropping of leaves. And it's just a matter of digging in the soil a little bit. If you can dig in, go down 2, 3, 4 inches and it's dry, you know, a guideline would be 1 inch of water once a week. A sprinkler system, oscillating system is a lot better than putting the hose at the base of the tree. The trees do not have a magical mouth part at the base of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Those root systems go out.
Yes, they do.
We see that often. And, you know, and it's a passion. It's a love for the tree that somebody will just take the route of putting the hose right at the base of the tree and say, boy, I'll let this trickle for the next 3 days. Well, that's actually going to cause more damage than good.
Well, if you do it, at the base of the tree?
Right at the base of the tree. Leave that hose on just a little bit right at the base of the tree.
Okay, why is that going to do more damage than good, Skeet?
Right at the base of the tree is a transition zone from root to bark to trunk. And again, with the mulch in there, we just don't want that area to stay wet very long.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll get
cause
mold, okay.
Root rot, decay will set in right at the base of the tree.
Yeah, it opens the tree not only to disease but to insects.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And right at that base, we've got a double interaction. We've got the disease going up the trunk and down into the root system.
Mm-hmm.
So when we water, we're thinking oscillating sprinkler away, keep the water off the trunk of the tree.
Okay, but with newly planted trees, we're dealing with a different situation than with mature trees, established trees. Why don't you explain the difference on that? Because with a newly planted tree, you obviously want a drip hose.
Yes.
At the base.
Yes. And at the newly planted tree, no matter who, how, or what plants a tree, boy, if you can get 10% of the roots, you've got a successful transplant.
And I see what you mean. Do you mean you get 10% of the roots not to be chopped off when you transplant it?
Well, the total root ball may have 10, maybe 15% of the total root system is being replaced or being put into the ground on that tree. So we've got a tree under a tremendous amount of stress.
Okay, let's put it the other way. Yeah. 90% of the root system might be removed from a tree that's dug up from a nursery.
Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that, and as you said, that puts a lot of stress on the tree. Now, some people think, well, to compensate, I should prune it. What's the story on that?
Well, we're taking solar panels away that provide the photosynthesis and
that's
the sugars.
That's so nice of him to say.
To put,
I like that idea.
That was so nice of him.
You just made Lisa blush now.
Oh, my. And my wife is in the room.
My little solar panels.
It's strictly geeky techno with Lisa, okay? Yeah. There's nothing else going on here. Well. But that's a really good point. You're taking away the energy manufacturing part of the tree, so don't do that.
Don't do it. You got it. Yeah.
But you know, people get these ideas. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing.
Yes.
Where they hear, well, the root system, there's not enough to keep the tree going, so I got to balance it. I got to take some of the leaves off.
Well, and how long does it – oh, go ahead.
By keeping those solar panels on, we're going to end the water. We're going to produce the photosynthate. It's going to get into sugars, and we're going to have that go down into carbohydrates, and that's going to get the root system reestablished. So a newly planted tree, we're watering every 3, 4, 5 days. Bottom line is watering every day will push the oxygen out of the soil, so too much loving is going to cause damage. So you're better off to water, soak, let it dry because it needs the oxygen.
And it's, and most plants are like that.
That makes sense.
You know, and not all plants, but, you know, usually in, when you have indoor plants, you learn that with a few exceptions, they like to be watered. They like to dry out before you water them again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people kill their plants with kindness by watering them too much. Now, the other thing I want to say is, and then I'm going to break, and then we've got Eddie from Bellwood. We're going to get a question in from him. You talk about sprinklers under a mature tree. Well, why aren't you watering at the base of the tree? And one of the reasons, obviously, as you said, is because it can cause damage. Well, isn't that where the water is taken up?
Great question.
I'm giving you a softball question here.
And I'll hit it out of the park.
Oh, okay, I know you will too, Skeet.
The root system, 90% of the tree roots are in the first 12 inches of the soil surface, and the roots go out as far as a tree is high. Or if you want to think a canopy, about 80% of the roots are within the canopy. So those little fine root hairs are right on the surface, right underneath the turf, out into the canopy of the tree. So, again, there is not this magical mouth part or a tap root going down.
Well, and that's a mistake that people make, thinking that trees have tap roots, and they don't. They go out, and as you said, it's in the first couple of feet of soil is pretty much all the activity. And you know that when you see a tree get uprooted and you've got that pancake at the bottom of the tree.
Flips up into the air, absolutely. Yeah. And so we want to water around the drip line of the tree, and that can be done just by laying a hose on the ground. It could be an oscillating sprinkler. It could be laying a hose on the ground. It could be the slip and slide out there and let the kids have some fun. And, you know, you're watering your tree at the same time.
I like all that idea.
Sarah and I are going to head to
now you got Sarah interested, okay?
Yeah.
I did have a follow-up question to the young tree thing.
Okay, go for it.
And that is, how long do you consider a tree to be young? So you planted
good
it.
Question.
Let's say you put it in the ground this year.
Yep.
Do I need to continue to consider it a new tree next year? So how long do I continue that special care?
Great question. Guidelines. We like to have fun with guidelines. It takes a tree a year longer than the diameter to get its roots reestablished.
Okay, so if it's a 5-inch diameter, it takes 6 years to establish those roots?
And that's a huge tree.
Wow, that's a long time.
Plant.
Yeah. That's a big tree.
That's a big tree.
You know, this is why folks say that sometimes it's better just to get the smallest tree possible because it's going to catch up, you know, to the big one. The big one's going to sit there languishing because you took away its roots, and you might as well plant a smaller one, which in the long run might be healthier.
Takes faster.
Absolutely. So a 2-inch tree takes about 3 years to get reestablished. And so at that point, it's a newly planted tree for about 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you might get one of those whippets.
What's a whippet?
Is that what they call it? No. What's the little whipper? The little.
I think it is a whip.
A whip? Yeah,
a whip.
A whip.
Not a whippet.
Whippet's a dog.
A whippet, that's a... Okay. Yeah.
So it's a really skinny tree.
And like that's a Devo sapling song, too.
It's a 1 year.
Like a sapling.
You got to whip it. Whip it good. Okay. Yes. That's Skeet, certified arborist from the Care of Trees. If you're interested in, we'll be back to him in a second because we got a question from Eddie. We'll get to him. You can always call them, 800-508-9466 for a free consultation. Folks will come out and you got a tree question. Yeah. You guys will look at it.
Absolutely. We'll water it and whip it. Absolutely.
Whip it good. Exactly. All right. So that, we'll be right back. All right. Guess who's back? Wait. There we go. D. Landreth Seed Company, just in time to tell you that it's garlic planting season. And you want to get your dirty little hands on their heirloom garlic variety, the Rock'n'Bowl Garlic, in a lovely Yaphagany purple. And that's, she told me that, you know how you spell that? Y-O-U-G-H-I-O-G-H-E-N-Y. Yaphagany purple. Rock'n'Bowl Garlic is the most popular of the hardneck varieties. It has a deeper, more full-bodied flavor than softnecks and produces large cloves that are easily peeled. Their loose skins are also their biggest disadvantage because the loose skins contribute to the shorter storage life. Rock'n'Bowls harvested in summer or fall do not usually last past January. Well, I guess you're just going to have a bunch of garlic in the fall, which is not a bad thing. Yaphagany Purple is a truly American garlic. No one knows where it originated in the wild, but it has been grown in the Yaphagany River Valley of southwestern Pennsylvania for more than 85 years. Now, D. Landreth Seeds is proud to be able to offer this garlic variety. 5 years ago, the grower in Pennsylvania stopped growing the garlic. After searching for a source, they found some Yaphagany purple in the Midwest. Yay, Midwest. And for the past 3 years, they've been building a production crop, and you can get a hold of it right now. For more information, go online to LandrethSeeds.com, L-A-N-D-R-E-T-H, Seeds.com. Go to their Facebook page, Landreth Seed Co., or call 800-654-2407, 800-654-2407. Glad to have him back as a sponsor of the Mike Novak Show. D. Landreth Seed Company, purveyor of fine seeds since 1784.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I don't want you to be left out. Here's what I'm talking about. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakening Chicago to improve their lives than any other health or wellness magazine. If you're a green, natural health, or wellness business, you should be part of the leading sustainability resource in the country. Natural Awakenings is packed with information that our readers use to find the products and services they need to live happier, healthier lives. Natural Awakenings is available for free each month throughout the city and north and northwest suburbs. We're placed in more than 1,100 area locations, ensuring the right eyes read about your products and services. We're also online at nachicagonorth.com. We're local, we're independent, and our readers will help you grow your business. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Trying to weather the housing market? Consider replacing your windows and siding. Remodeling Magazine says they're some of the nation's most popular projects today.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling and energy needs. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
We got lots of photos going. It's photo op time here on the Mike Novak Show. Now, while a lot of folks think that home improvement is the epitome of do-it-yourself practice, they're wrong. It's obviously gardening. You can't be more DIY than planting, fertilizing, watering, pruning, harvesting, and all of the other tasks that happen in a garden. And the July-August issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine will help you expand that knowledge just a little bit further. For instance, there's an article about growing herbs, sometimes called herbs by our friends. Oh, lots of people do it. I don't know why. You know that fresh herbs are a great asset to almost any dish, but do you know when in their growth is the best time to harvest them? Do you know what time of day to pick them for the greatest concentration of oils in the leaves? And did you know the tips for properly harvesting herbs like basil, cilantro, oregano, parsley, rosemary, and dill? I do, but that's because I read Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Of course, I have my own column on the inside back page, which means they send me a free copy. They don't like to, but they do. Get a subscription of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Go to ChicagolandGardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I have Skeet in studio. He's a certified arborist from the Care of Trees, a Davey company. Let's go right to the phone line. And Eddie, thank you for being patient. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Thank you very much. I wanted to ask your guest if he had an opinion. As I come home to Bellwood, I go through Melrose Park and on Division. They're planting brand new trees about 3 or 4 inches round, about 5 feet off the ground, and they're putting them between the curb and the sidewalk. They are planting them 5 or 6 feet apart. I would think it would be better if that tree was planted inside toward the home of the sidewalk, because over time it's going to push the curb up, and they'll be replacing the curb. They have these green bags on them. I'm sure that's some kind of a drip system to keep it moist. And I knew about the tree ring around the where you water the tree and you watch how the water falls on the ground. That's where the end of the roots are. I learned how to do the Jerry Baker tonic for your lawn. So I wanted to find out, is that the right way to plant them? Because I'm looking to plant two trees so that they cast a shadow on my living room to knock the heat down on the inside of the house. I'll stop and hang up and listen.
All right, thanks. Wait, Eddie, before I let you go, do you have any idea what kind of trees they're planting, do you?
I don't know, but I know it shouldn't be maple, because a long time ago with those whirly things, I put them in little plastic bags. I had about 50 of them. And I gave them out to people because they were trees, seedlings.
Uh-huh.
And they're fast growing, but they're also not so hot, I think, with the root system they produce.
Well, people have very strong opinions about maple trees, and we'll talk about that.
Yes, they do.
All right. Eddie, thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate you. Have a great Sunday.
Great listening to you. Great show. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. He brings up a number of interesting questions. The thing that sticks in my mind, though, he says they're planting these trees 5 to 6 feet apart. That seems a little close to me. Now, I'm not going to try to question what the city is doing, if the city's doing it. On the other hand, I've got two trees in my parkway, and I know they're too close together. And I can't figure out why the city of Chicago did that, oh, I don't know, 15 years ago or whenever they were planted, because they look like they're about 15 years old. But there are a couple of hybrid elms, and if it were me, I'd only have one of those in the parkway, not two. So, first of all, what about how close? And it depends on the species of the tree, obviously.
Completely depends on the species. Completely depends on what look or desire we're going for. And they could be planting those in some engineered soil. So that could be a container box. So if you're worried about a curb or gutter or situation where the root's causing damage, that's something we really got to take a look on site. The green bags there are the watering system. And so as we talked about getting the...
Yeah, they call it one of those
Gator bags. Yeah.
And you know, I've talked to Sean Kingzett from the Care of Trees, who's now actually with Davey. He's not as big a fan of the gator bags as he is of the donut bags that you put around for the same reason we talked earlier, which is when you hang a gator bag on a tree, the moisture can get to the bark, you know, it may be heat and moisture, and he feels like the you're better off keeping all that away from the trunk of the tree.
Absolutely, and sometimes to keep the gator bag where it is, they get a nice heavy-duty zip tie around the trunk of the tree, which inhibits the growth of the tree as you're trying to get the tree started. Mm-hmm. So proper installation, and the brown donut bags aesthetically do look a heck of a lot better, and they produce the same effect of watering a tree more effectively in the sense of not damaging the tree. As far as spacing goes, you know, we run into this a lot of times saying, boy, you know, one tree would be fantastic in this spot 50 years from now. Well, I don't want to wait 50 years. I want to have two trees. I want to have a couple trees there, and I want the screening and the shade sooner than later. And so two trees go in, and if you want to double your trees, you put two instead of one, and you're going to have twice the amount of benefits. And then somebody's going to walk by and say, boy, what were they thinking? Well, they were thinking 50 years ago they wanted two trees. Mm-hmm. And now we've got success because we have two trees.
So you're saying that if Eddie wants to put two trees in his lawn, he can do that.
He can put two trees in. He's going to get twice as much shade.
And while I did, you know, complain, say that there's two trees on my parkway and I think it's one too many, the forest doesn't care. You know, they drop seeds there and you get trees that grow they'll grow a couple of feet apart.
Absolutely.
And that happens all the time. And so in some ways it's more natural.
And there's some competition there and it's more natural. And then, I mean, in our urban forest, it is so difficult to get trees to grow. Sidewalks, roads, salt, limited rooting, poor soils, weed whackers, lawnmowers, cars, trucks. It's just tough to get trees to grow.
Yeah.
So somebody puts two trees in, and we can get both of them to be successful. Fantastic.
Well, that is Skeet, certified arborist from the Care of Trees. In the second hour, I'm going to have a little more information about watering your trees. If folks want to take advantage of the Care of Trees, call 800-508-9466. You'll get a free consultation if you call today. They'll call you back first thing tomorrow morning because they always tell me, you know, your show's on Sunday. We're not there, but we'll call them first thing on Monday. Skeet, you're always welcome back here. Why don't you stick around for a second because I'm going to bring in Rick DeMaio right now. And that's the guy who knows about what's going on with the weather. And I don't know if you were listening, Rick, but you know, we were talking about how things have gotten a little dry here. And July is actually kind of below average, isn't it?
Yeah, way below average, Mike. And it's amazing because I drove back from Kansas City, Missouri yesterday and the day before. I did kind of a two-day trip, and it was pretty incredible going all the way from about Des Moines, Iowa to about Dubuque, Iowa, outside of the luscious green of the soybean and corn crops. It was amazing how some of the public areas, the public greeneries, have basically gone brown. And I was watching a couple of the local stations around the Cedar Rapids, Iowa area, and I was blown away by how little rain they've had pretty much since about, I'd say, the second week of July. That's when we had that little bit of a heat burst. And you look at, you know, I looked at a bunch of different climate spots, Burlington, Iowa, around the Davenport. The site of Burlington, Iowa, Mike, guess how much rain they've had since the 1st of August? This will blow you away.
Burlington, Iowa.
Burlington, Iowa, basically right on the river there.
Zero.
0.0, exactly right. And then you head even into western Illinois up until about, say, Dixon, about Rock Falls and about Sterling, less than a quarter of an inch. And this is something that I think, you know, caught a lot of us, you know, by surprise. But I've always said it. It's always hard to predict when you're going to go into a long period of dry weather. Usually you don't know you're in a drought or at least a dry spell until you're about halfway through it. And that's pretty much what we've seen even in the Chicago area. Only around 1.1 inches of fish head hair. A couple places have had a little bit more to the north of us, but definitely to the south. In addition to the dryness, it's also been very sunny, and with that sunshine, obviously you get a lot of high rates of evaporation.
But as Skeet pointed out on the show, people are faked out because it's been cool, and
right.
They don't feel like it's a drought And it's not a drought yet. I mean, we just haven't.
It's a dry spell, yeah.
It's a dry spell. But with the cool weather, it doesn't occur to them to check on their plants in the way they should.
Oh, yeah. It's that top 1 inch. And I know you were talking about young trees, but definitely young bushes, young flowers, anything that you've planted probably this spring needs a lot of moisture, needs a lot of water in that first inch and a half to 2 inches, you know, obviously the soil. Now here's the interesting dichotomy of this is exactly what the farmers want for corn. They've had all the rain that they need. Now they need actually a lot of sunshine and a lot of hot weather, because this is when the corn is at the point where it's really beginning to mature. It's on the stalk. It's very healthy. What they don't want right now is rain. They actually want, the farmers want, a lot of hot weather and a lot of sunshine. It helps things really grow. So the farmers are getting what they want. The local growers and maybe the local farmers with their backyard nurseries and backyard farms are probably not getting what they want. So, you know, depending on which side of the fence you're on, so to say, the weather can be somewhat favorable, and in certain situations, somewhat unfavorable.
And I just want to emphasize again, and Skeet, you can probably confirm this, is that this is a time where you can get caught off guard, and you just need to monitor your trees, especially your trees.
Absolutely. And we're better off to do the preventative care than we are to try and make up when the damage has been done.
Yeah, a lot of folks say, well, you know, if I got a plant and it droops, I'll water it, it'll come back. But it really takes its toll on a plant, doesn't it?
It takes a toll. And, you know, and trees bend and twist, and that's normal. They start getting dry. They're not bending. They're snapping. And we could have some safety issues here. So, now is the time to start the watering.
And how long is this going to go on, Rick? Have we entered a dry spell for a while? Because I saw some forecasts for this week, and it doesn't look like a lot of rain at all, if any.
No, not at all. Not at all. This is a typical late August, you know, dry spell, Mike. Typically, you see most of our heavy rain events in the month of August, but we've also gotten into some dry spells as well. And, you know, another side note to how, you know, climate varies from one season to the next. When I was driving through Missouri last Sunday, I was amazed at the lack of corn that was planted. It was basically soybeans. And I was talking to one local meteorologist down in Kansas City. I go, what's with all the soybeans? He goes, well, last year the farmers basically lost their corn crop by the time we got to about the end of June. This year, they were rushing to get the corn in, or at least were hoping to get the corn in. And what did we have this spring? Tremendous amounts of rain. So they couldn't even actually get into the fields. So because they were not able to plant the corn, they had to actually wait a little bit and then plant soybeans. Because soybeans, you can go a little bit later into the season and still get a fairly favorable crop. Although at $2,200 to about $2,500 bucks an acre, farmers obviously going to want to get a lot of corn. So the bottom line is, even in parts of Missouri where it's more or less soybeans compared to corn here in Illinois, they even had to kind of hold off due to the fact that it had such a wet spring. And then all of a sudden, the spigot just turns the other way. So as you were alluding to, Mike, yeah, the dry spell that we've been here, or been in rather, here in Illinois, probably is going to last right through the middle of the week. But for people who want to enjoy late summer weather, this is about as good as it gets. So bottom line here, temperatures low to mid 80s today, or at least low 80s today, low to mid 80s tomorrow, probably near 90, or at least we'll say upper 80s as we head into Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But still, the thing that's interesting, Mike, is the fact that the tropics are just not getting going. And one of the things I was talking about with a couple of the people at the seminars out all week in Kansas City was the fact that the tropics just don't want to get anything moving into the Caribbean and up here into the Midwest. Even though we had tropical storm Aaron form off the coast of West Africa, it's basically fizzled out. Even though the sea surface temperatures are warm, there's just too much shear in the atmosphere. So none of these storms are getting going. And usually this time of the year, particularly late August, early September, we actually rely on some of that moisture from subtropical systems to get up here in the Midwest. And none of that for the next 5 to 10 days is in the forecast, without a doubt.
And that's interesting. It's that it's been such a quiet season in the oceans there.
Yeah, and again, even though we may not get a lot of our thunderstorm activity from, you know, normal areas of low pressure or frontal boundaries, because this time of the year that those systems are kind of weak, the tropics usually help us out with that. And from what I can see, there is nothing going on in the tropics. So basically what we have now, we'll probably be talking about an extended period of dry weather. And by this time next weekend, probably talking about temperatures generally in the upper 80s to low 90s. Even though we're about 3 degrees below normal for the month, I got a feeling by the time next week comes around, we'll probably be at normal temperature-wise, but about 2 to 2.5 inches below normal precipitation-wise. And further west, in western Illinois and eastern Iowa, that's probably going to be approaching deficits of close to 3 to 4 inches by the time we get to next week.
And this is, again, why we had Skeet on the show this morning to talk about your trees. And we're going to talk about heat and drought, but there hasn't been a lot of heat. On the other hand, the temperature is going to start edging up, and the fact that we haven't had any water are going to make some trees vulnerable.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a little bit of heat during a dry pattern is definitely going to make things much more vulnerable the next 5 to 7 days.
Yeah, in our community garden, you know, we're working right now to keep the watering, and you know, we haven't gotten the rain barrels filled by any storms recently, and that, you know, I like that free water. I love it when we get that in there. So, all right. Well, anything else there, Rick? You know, I got a minute here. What do you want to vamp with, huh?
Oh, no, just the fact that I was down in the Aviation Weather Center in Kansas City for 6 days looking at a lot of interesting weather products. And I was down there with 35 other weather weenies. And it was interesting, Mike, on Thursday, I was in the middle of getting a briefing. And all of a sudden, my phone starts to vibrate, and who's calling but my mother?
Well, that always happens, doesn't it?
Everybody is like, who's that, Rick? I go, my mother. Go ahead, answer. I'm like, no, I'm not going to answer. She just wanted to know how my poison ivy was doing. I've had another incident of poison ivy. So maybe later, Mike, you can give me some clues on how to get rid of it.
I have had it. I had a major kind of head-to-toe case of poison ivy once. I'll tell you all about it.
Well, you got to stop swimming in the weeds.
Well, I think they say with the heat and the weather patterns that we've been having that the poison is a little more poisonous than it has been historically.
Yeah, so you've got a more virulent strain. So there you go. All right, well, get out the, what is it, the lotion?
Technu.
Calamine.
Technu.
Technu?
Technu.
Is that your advice?
Absolutely.
All right, well, how do you spell that?
T-E-C-N-U.
All right, this is straight from our arborist, Technu. Try that out, Rick.
I'll look it up, and I'll report back on my poison ivy and the weather next week.
Okay, Rick DeMaio, meteorologist. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good.
I just got a Facebook post from Rob Greenfield. He said, just for that, Mike, I'm taking my shirt off in the studio.
He was looking for a reason.
Oh, he was. I know he was. Okay. Skeet from the Carrot Trees, thank you so much. I appreciate you being in the studio. Folks,
thank
stick
you,
around.
Mike.
We got lots going on in the second hour, and I hope you're with us.
Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
I'm playing a little song from a friend of the show who has, I should actually speak into the mic and that will help. This is Tracy DeMarco's CD, and you might remember Tracy because she was on the show last year on April Fool's Day 2012, and we brought her in and she was live in studio with her CD partner, Brian Bradbury, and they have a new CD out for 2013 called Ever After. The name of their group is The Glass Hour. And it's all, you know, it's harp and a lot of mood inducing kind of music. Not always, you know, the best to charge into for a bump for a radio show, but it's really enjoyable music. And I hope that, you know, maybe I'll get a chance to play one more before, the end of the show. But so,
we can use a little peace and zen. We don't have to always rock it out.
No, we don't.
I mean, like it.
Let's see here. This is, CD Roulette. This is a track. Wait. No, I know which one because we just had the tree guy on. We had Skeet. This is their song called Trees. And by the way, Tracy does all the songs, vocals, lyrics, harp, orchestration, except for some guitar and the keyboard and drums by Brian. So
I post a link to that on Facebook because Facebook was letting me log on today.
Now, you can't get on at all?
It tells me I cannot log on.
All right. Maybe I should let me log off here, okay? I'm just going to close here.
Well, I don't know if I tried too many times. I closed the browser. You know, I'm going to open it in a different browser.
Facebook can be really, really annoying. Okay.
Giddy.
Yeah, and we got some people nodding. Okay, I just closed that window. So,
all right. And I'm going to open it in Google Chrome instead of.
Yeah.
You know, because maybe it's I'm being watched.
NSA is what you figure. Welcome back to the second hour of the Mike Novak Show. I'm very pleased to have in the studio a couple of people. Cindy Scruckroot is the clean water advocate for the Illinois chapter of the Sierra Club. You might remember Cindy when we did our broadcast out in McHenry. When you guys sort of ran things here in the studio, she was out there with me. Also, Andrew Armstrong. Who's with the Environmental Law and Policy Center. Let's crank those mics up. Good morning to both of you.
Morning, Mike.
And soon we will have, is it Schaub? Lauren Schaub? Is that how you pronounce the last name? But before we do that, I just want to take a real quick phone call that relates to something that we were talking about in the first hour of the show. And here we go. Calda Muhammad, this is Mike Novak. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Mike. It's Kaida. How are you?
Oh, it's Kaida. Okay, I don't know why it's typed up there that way. Hi, Kaida. Rob should know better.
I know, you should, but that's okay. I'll forgive you.
No, it's not me. I said Rob. I was throwing Rob under the bus, not me.
He's in the hall, so he doesn't even know he's been thrown under the
bus. That's okay. He's under the wheels of the bus right now trying to get out.
Yeah, he's the ultimate multitasker, so leave him alone.
That's true. He is good at that. So what? You know something about TechNew?
People I worked with over the summer had used a lot of it. It's good, you know, if you use it right away, but it does not work after you have started developing rashes and all of that. That's where you start using your hydrocortisone creams and other things to minimize the itching. And it takes a while. I worked with a couple of people who've had poison ivy several times before. So when they got it this time, they developed what's called a hypersensitivity to the poison ivy. And at that point, it becomes a systemic. And they had to go to the doctor and get the prednisone, steroid therapy, and prescription hydrocortisone. So that stuff is not anything to play with. It grows next to another invasive called the Virginia creeper because they look alike. So poison ivy is a very clever, not only dangerous, but a very clever plant. it kind of, you know, grows in with things that it resembles, and it's scary.
Yeah. So you're saying you can't use it once the symptoms are there. You have to use it in advance.
Yeah, and there's also another cream.
Yeah, but you see, Kaida, that's the problem. A lot of people get poison ivy and don't know that they've gotten it. So, if you don't know you're going to get it, how can you use it in advance?
Well, you know, if you're in an area where the poison ivy is growing, in some areas, Mike, it just flourishes. And then there's some wildlife that eats it. So, you know, they're not trying to get rid of it. A lot of the poison ivy removal that I did with some other people out in the forest, we just took it way out deep up into the forest and dumped it after we removed it. So
yeah, because you can't burn it. You don't want to do that. That's obviously very dangerous.
No, and there's some wildlife that depends on it. So you have to be careful. So if you've had it once, you could be in trouble if you get it again.
Yeah, poison ivy is tough. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, thank you so much for the call. Always great hearing from you, Kaida. I know you got the new farmer's market on the south side. How's that doing?
Oh, we got two more Sundays. Today and next Sunday is our last of the season, so we'll start preparing, getting ready for next season.
You got two more Sundays. Tell folks where the market is so they can go down and join you.
Okay, well, absolutely. We're at the Rainbow Park Beach at 3111 East 77th Street. That's right where all that construction for the new US 41 just opened up. Come to 79th Street and follow that road all the way around. We're right outside of the field house at Rainbow Park. And we, it wasn't what we envisioned, but we had a fun summer, and we were able to do a lot. We learned a lot, and the market will be from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. today at the Rainbow Beach Park, right outside of the field house there.
And then 1 to 5 next Sunday as well.
And 1 to 5 next Sunday is our final Sunday for the season.
Okay.
We'll be there. I will be wrapping it up and maybe having a little potluck something out.
Sounds great. All right. Well, Kaida, yes. always a pleasure talking to you. Thanks a lot
and
for the tip.
As well.
All right. You have a great Sunday.
You too, Mike. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I'm going to now bring in Lauren Schaub. Lauren, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Mike.
Great to have you on the program. Lauren is with the Medewin Heritage Association, and so we've got our crew here in the studio. And it's interesting that Kaida was talking about construction of 41. That's sort of a segue into our discussion here today, which is there are folks who would love to have some construction in Will County, stretching from somewhere around Joliet to where on the Indiana side? Wait, I had this here to Lowell, Indiana, and connect I-55 to I-65 near Lowell. And, you know, if you go to the, and I've got this information on my website, MikeNovak.net, go to this week's show. And if you go to the IDOT website, they talk about the big signing legislation June 9th of 2010 to get this thing rolling. And it has been moving, and it would be a tollway that both states want to have. Governor Quinn is apparently very enamored of this project. And all of a sudden, well, maybe not all of a sudden, but this year, three conservation organizations, Open Lands, Sierra Club, and Medewin Heritage Association, represented by the ELPC, filed a complaint about this. All right. Okay, let's start with you and Andrew, and tell us why this. Give us a background on how this all started and why you had to file a lawsuit this year.
Sure. So this project has been, as you said, moving pretty quickly as highway projects go.
Although this project has been talked about for a while, the original conception of the Illion Expressway was something that would go much further north of where it is now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is 10 miles south of urbanized area of existing suburban development and happens to be right along the southern border of the Madewin National Tallgrass Prairie.
Well, let me stop you right there. All right. That is something that I was not aware of. So there was a change in plans here. So originally, and when did these plans change and why?
Well, this project has been talked about since, I'd say, the second half of the last decade. And the idea of the Illion Expressway would be an east-west connector mm-hmm. that would... the original conception was a connector that would take some pressure off of the existing I-80, which has had some congestion in recent years. And the idea would be that if we built another east-west connector, we could have trucks and cars moving along that. Now, the problem is that in the original conception, as I said, it was further north and closer to I-80, but just in the past few years, IDOT has looked at this alternative that is much further to the south and goes far, far away from where the existing communities are.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying, well, it sounds like it's almost kind of like a bait and switch sort of thing. We're going to do this, but don't worry, it's going to be up in the in the developed corridor. And now we've moved it south. And what I'm assuming has happened here is that now it's getting into sensitive environmental areas. I know that you're concerned with, well, not just places like Madewin, but loss of farmland as well, and the rivers and streams in the area, Cindy?
Yeah, so it's, you know, one of the main problems with the spot that IDOT and Illinois Department of Transportation have picked for the road is, as Andrew said, it's 10 miles south of the edge of the urban area. And so at the time when our regional planning agencies are saying that we should be investing in existing communities, investing in existing infrastructure, they're planning this road that would be, you know, out in going out through farms, cutting through, you know, farms that have been in people's hands for same family hands mm-hmm. for, you know, 100 years. It would cross the Kankakee River, which is probably the highest quality river left in northeastern Illinois. It's the most like it was before we started, you know, putting pollution into rivers and stuff. It has a thriving fish and mussel population. Certainly a road across the Kankakee River is going to impact that habitat. You'll have salt spray going into the river. Mm-hmm. You know, it just doesn't make sense to be building this road so far from the Chicago metropolitan area.
So you're suggesting, Cindy, that this route should be further north, but is it more highly congested, and so would there be more homes displaced and things like that, or is there an alternate?
We're saying that this road where it's proposed is not needed.
It's not needed.
Yes.
So really we're better off if we invest those dollars, put those jobs, because it's probably what Quinn's motto, as all politicians, jobs, jobs, jobs. So really reinvesting back in the infrastructure that we already have, the bridges that we know have problems, the roads that we know that have potholes. So putting those dollars, those jobs, those resources towards that, as opposed to constructing an entirely new road. That's your proposal.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Well, let's get to Lauren here, because obviously this is going to have some effect on the Madewin Natural Tallgrass Prairie. I suspect so. Otherwise, you wouldn't be involved in this lawsuit. Go ahead, Lauren.
That's absolutely right, Mike. The Madewin Heritage Association is a Friends of organization, and we support activities at Madewin National Tallgrass Prairie, primarily the ones that have to do with the natural and cultural heritage of that area. And as such, we were offered the opportunity by the Illiana planners to become a Section 106 National Historic Preservation Act consulting party. Party. We recently received, or within the last 2 weeks, we received the report that the Ileana planners had been working on for some months. And in that report, they identified some 570 properties along that 47-mile proposed toll road route. And those properties were located within the actual corridor where they're planning on putting the road that's about 2,000 feet wide. And then there was an additional mile on either side of that that they looked at, which is an area called the area of potential effect. Now, the Ileana planners concluded that out of all those properties, there is only one that would be impacted within the criteria of the National Historic Preservation Act, which goes back into the 1960s. The many historic farmsteads along the route didn't make the cut. The agricultural land, which will be taken out of production, didn't make the cut. The centennial farms along the route didn't make the cut. The only property is historic alternate Route 66, and that road from Joliet down to Wilmington was placed on the National Register of Historic Places back in 2006, and it is the current Route 53, which runs right through the middle of Madewin. Now, alternate Route 66 between Joliet and Wilmington is on the National Register of Historic Places. About 2,000 feet, however, or 2,000 feet will be altered to accommodate an interchange between Route 53 and the proposed Ileana if they continue with the plans that they currently have. And this would take place at River Road where it crosses Route 53. And that would alter substantially the appearance and character of that historic place. Truck traffic along historic alternate Route 66 will be greatly increased if the interchange is located on the proposed Ileana, providing access off and on to Route 53. The impact will extend north along the entire length of 66A as it passes through Madewin and by the Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery. This increased noise levels on historic Route 66 will impact negatively on the wildlife and the visitors at Madewin, including at the Madewin Welcome Center, which is right on Route 53. Increased truck traffic on historic alternate Route 66 will impact negatively on those traveling to and entering the Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery. Now, I'm a U.S. Army veteran, a member of the American Legion, and when I die, I will be buried at the Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery with my fellow servicemen and women. That 982-acre cemetery was carved out of the old Joliet Arsenal land, as was Madewin National Tall Grass Prairie, and is the second largest national cemetery in our nation. Congressman George Sangmeister, a Korean War veteran himself, was instrumental in establishing the cemetery, as well as Madewin, and is buried there. And so is also a soldier from our Civil War, who was a Medal of Honor recipient. Now, on a personal note, I was at the opening day ceremony of the cemetery back in October of 1999, along with representatives of many service organizations, such as the VFW and the American Legion, Disabled American Veterans, as well as others. When fully developed, that cemetery will have some 400,000 burial spaces. That's 400,000 burial spaces. And I frequently return there, attending the full military honor funerals of friends and for the moving memorial ceremonies that are done by the cemetery staff for soldiers that do not have family members that can attend the ceremonies. On Memorial Day back in 2010, President Obama returned to Illinois and spoke at the Abraham Lincoln National Cemetery paying tributes to our veterans. And recently, again on a personal note, I was out with hundreds of other volunteers on Memorial Day where we placed some 25,000 flags across the cemetery, one for each grave. As many as 35 burials a day take place there, during which time the main flag, the American flag, is lowered to half staff in respect to those being laid to rest. The National Cemetery Administration's goal is to honor veterans with a final resting place in national shrines, and that's what that cemetery is considered, and with lasting tributes to commemorate their service to our nation. And the National Cemetery staff, in some of their literature, says that they hope hope visitors will find peace amid these quiet and beautiful grounds, and that they pledge to honor the dignity and memory of those buried there. Yet getting to that national shrine requires the funeral procession to navigate down Route 53 or up 53, historic Route 66, amid a continuous stream of trucks. There is also
are you saying that's now, or if they build this tollway?
There is a problem today, and there will be an increased problem if they build.
So it's only going to make it worse.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
There's a railroad crossing right at the cemetery's entrance, and because of that, that can lead to a halted procession of sometimes 15 to 20 cars in a lane that's typically being traversed by trucks traveling at 55 miles an hour. It's just an accident waiting to happen.
Well, you know, This is sort of the playbook of how these things go down. It's that you take and less because we have so much less open area in the country anymore. But it seems to me that you get an area that, and the reason they're doing this is, well, it's just farms and we can knock out this tollway very easily. And it's going to be cheaper than, if we do it through subdivisions and that sort of thing. The problem is we don't have this land. Once it's gone, it's gone. And it would seem a shame that you spend this time and energy and money on something called the Madewin National Tallgrass Prairie that just got going in 97, and then right away turn around and subject it to the traffic and the pollution and everything that goes with it. Let me read something that Openlands President and CEO Jerry Adelman said, which I think is a very interesting quote, because he's a pretty mild-mannered guy.
Yeah.
All right. And he's been on the show, and, you know, he speaks very carefully. He does. And he said, building an astronomically expensive tollway with no demonstrated need and with extreme environmental and cultural impact is foolhardy. Open Lands does not enter into lawsuits without extensive research and contemplation. We feel an obligation to raise concerns about this project, which is poorly planned and being pushed forward too quickly. The region has real transportation needs that are being addressed by the thoughtful, inclusive work of regional planning agencies, but this proposed tollway conflicts with these plans. That's pretty straightforward stuff.
Yeah. Right. Right. And one important thing that Jerry noted is that there are regional transportation organizations in the state of Illinois that are supposed to be looking at what the appropriate projects are. And for the Chicago metropolitan area, we have the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning.
Or CMAP.
CMAP, as it's referred to. And the really interesting thing in this case is that CMAP, in its long-range vision for the Chicago Metropolitan Agency, which they call, sorry, the Chicago Metropolitan Area, which they call Go To 2040, has a vision for Chicago's region that involves an end of sprawl and the development of existing communities and really sustainable transportation and land use policies.
So where did this come from?
Well, that's a good question because...
Well, apparently the Federal Highway Administration was involved in this, and IDOT and Indiana DOT were involved in this. And one of the things you guys are fighting in court is the environmental study that they did. Do you feel it was inadequate?
Yes, Mike. And one big reason is that CMAP and its counterpart in Indiana put together their own population and employment forecasts for the Chicago region in conjunction with these sustainable transportation and land use plans. And IDOT basically threw them out the window when they started planning this highway. IDOT said, CMAP, your policies, as good as they may be, we're going to disregard them when we look at what the population is going to look at in 2040, which is kind of the planning date they use for these types of projects.
In fact, they have the go to 2040.
Exactly.
Plan. Yeah.
Exactly. So IDOT said, we believe that sprawl is going to continue all the way out to the very edges of the Chicago exurbs like it did in the 20th century. Sprawl is just going to continue on like it has in past years. And the problem is that's inconsistent with CMAP's plans. It's inconsistent with reality.
So IDOT is using different population forecasts than CMAP, using that to justify the road, while CMAP is saying, no, that's not what our vision, our collective vision for this region is. We want to be investing in existing communities. We want to be putting our transportation money into maintaining and revitalizing our existing transportation infrastructure.
Now, this cannot go forward, however, unless CMAP approves of it. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And under what law? What are we talking about?
This is under federal transportation laws.
Mm-hmm. And CMAP, the staff just did a study, looked at it and said, we got a lot of problems with this issue, with this tollway. And so they're going back to IDOT and the Indiana counterpart and saying, well, right now what they're having is a period where people can make comment. And that is through
September 3rd.
September 3rd. And I've got the links on my page, MikeNovak.net, this week's show, where you can go to CMAP. You go to the CMAP website, and on the homepage, it'll tell you how to comment on this. Now, there's so much here. We're not going to be able to get into all of it. But one of the problems is IDOT says it's going to cost something, and CMAP did a study and said, you're the only place in the country that has that thinks it's going to be this low, where we've seen anything like this that is going to be as low as you say it is. And IDOT also says, don't worry, it's going to be a private-public collaboration. And I got this, there's a smell in the air right now.
Right, I'm sitting here glaring.
As an Illinois taxpayer, I'm thinking, I know who's going to end up holding the bag on this. It's going
right.
to be me.
Right. And this is one example of how this project is moving too quickly. IDOT has estimated this project is going to cost $1.25 billion. And Mike, like you said, CMAP looked at different projects around the country and said, we can't find a project that's got such a low cost per lane mile. And that's a real problem because we don't know how this road is going to be paid for.
Yeah. And we don't know, they say it's going to be a public-private partnership. It'll be a toll road. We don't know what the tolls would cost. So there's a real fear that it won't be able to pay for itself. And as you say, the public will end up holding the bag.
And I don't have the exact quote, but I believe CMAP said something like there's no free lunch, meaning that
somebody's going to need to pay.
Even if you have this partnership with the private companies, what are they going to want in return?
Yeah.
All right. How many are we going to have another 75-year lease where they're getting the toll fees? Are we going to sell our souls to some private company just because they put money up front?
And then if it's so expensive, people won't want to drive on it, which just compounds the problem.
And then you have this big, open freeway that nobody uses in the middle of sensitive lands and farms that did not need to be destroyed.
That's right. And that's actually one of the more dangerous financing concepts they're talking about would be an availability payment model where the state of Illinois would be on the hook for making regular payments to whatever company builds and operates this. And this is where the population forecast could tie in, because if nobody's going to be using this road, there's no tolling revenue coming in. All the revenue is going to be coming in from state taxpayers, and it's going to be paid to this private company to build and operate a road that we didn't need and, in fact, destroys important natural resources.
So I did a little searching on it and found an article, and it quotes a Will County board member, Jim Moustis, and he says this about CMAP. He says, they don't have Will County's interests at heart. Never have, probably never will. We should understand that. So he's one of these, let's build it. Let's build it because it's going to bring money to our area and, let's go.
And we're not saying that we shouldn't be investing transportation dollars in Will County. We totally agree that we need to be, working on roads that have problems in the county, maintaining those roads, but that it's a better for us to invest in that existing infrastructure than to build this road way out in nowhere.
Right, so it's the shiny new penny. Let's not just follow the shiny new penny, but let's actually sit and think about and spend our dollars wisely where we need to on the broken things or the things that have a shelf life. I mean, I think that's one of the things that people don't stop to think is that, you have to continue to maintain, whether it's a building or your car or whether it's the public transportation system. You have to continue to invest dollars. You can't just build it and we're done. But yeah, it sounds like shiny new penny to me.
And in the studio, we have Cindy Skruckrud, Clean Water Advocate, Illinois Chapter of the Sierra Club, Andrew Armstrong of the ELPC, which is the Environmental Law and Policy Center, and Lauren Schaub from the Madewin Heritage Association. We have just a couple of minutes left in this. I'm a little... Okay, I get to be radio guy here because, you know, you guys have to be a little more cautious about the things you say. I'm just unhappy with the governor getting so gung-ho about this, especially in light of the fact that he's been so hands-off at Starved Rock State Park, where we're going to have some of the same issues, which is, you know, the trucks coming down with the frack sand blowing in the wind and the disturbance to that great natural resource. It's surprising to me. He's supposed to be the environmental governor, and I wish he would act like it a little more. Now that's me. That's, you know, talking about this. I know we got a couple of calls. Rob, can I get your who do you think we should go to here? Okay, let's do that. We're going to go to the phones and Ted in Melrose Park. Good morning. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Good morning. Now you've got my attention again. You mentioned the toll road, and I'm the guy that passed the legislation to have the toll road go on in perpetuity, if that's the right word. I spent 18 years in the General Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
What they're talking about here should die today.
Why is that?
I just went to the state fair,
yeah,
down 55. Got all jammed up with the traffic with the bridge going, being replaced. I will let you know that my mother and father, stepfather, are in Abraham Lincoln Cemetery. And I will do what I can to stick a pin in this whole idea that they want to build yet another expressway. We're paving over the world.
Yeah, you know, and that's really, Ted, that says it all. That's something that... I'm so glad you said it and didn't make me say it, because that's the way I feel. It's like, do we have to have a tollway on every single square inch of America? Is that really necessary? You know, and next we'll be filling in the Grand Canyon because, boy, it's going to be a really quick route to get across to Las Vegas.
We're hiding water in people's basements in Chicago and Orland Park. Orland Park never flooded like it did this last go around. We just have to open up the ground and let the water run in.
Absolutely. These things are all related.
Permeable concrete instead of asphalt and concrete the way they're pouring that bridge now. So I will back out, hang up, and listen, but I'm going to get my people to go down and put some signs up in that traffic that's going southbound. Thanks very much for the clues. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Ted. Let's go to line four. Let's bring in Bernie in Indiana. You're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Yeah, let's talk about the silliness of this all. They want to grind up farmland, which right now is going up about 25% a year. It was in the other Tribune, Chicago Tribune. But now in today's Hammond times, they're turning Gary, Indiana, they have so much vacant land, into farmland. They want to return it back to farmland. It's insane.
You're saying, of course, why don't we just keep the farmland we have?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing of it is why create more, like this other man said, more concrete when we've got all this vacant land in Gary that, I mean, it's silly.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate your comments, Bernie.
One more thing.
Sure.
Mike.
Yeah.
In Friday's the Porter County thing, check out how Enbridge is going to put all these safety things in for their oil pipeline. They're going to monitor in Canada if there's any low pressure, and they can react to it, and they've got all these new ideas on how to clean up the rivers.
And you think they're going to work?
Silly. In Canada, they're going to have a low... Insane. If you can pull it up on the internet.
I don't trust Enbridge, but I'll take a look at it. Okay, thanks for calling, Bernie. We have just a couple minutes here. I noticed you guys were a powwowing over there. What's going on?
Well, this is Cindy. I just want to make sure that folks are aware that Sierra Club's got an action alert up that's an easy way for you to send an email to CMAP to tell them, no, don't include Ileana in the go-to 2040 plan. And so that's up on our website and on our Facebook page, and I think we're going to link it up on
now,
your page.
Have you gotten on the Facebook?
2 minutes ago.
Are you kidding me?
Seriously. It's 10:39.
What the hell is wrong with Facebook?
It said I was trying too often. I think because you were on, I was trying to get on these two computers. Rob was trying to get on. It didn't like the fact that all of us were trying.
I'm annoyed. Okay, well, put it up
I'll
there.
I'll do some catching
up here,
folks.
Link to the action alert from the Sierra Club. And yeah, that's obviously a good way for people to get involved.
Yeah, easy, simple way for people to send an email to CMAP. So that would be great. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, or you can go to the CMAP site and they have the information there. Lauren, have you got any final words?
Well, just one comment here with regards to, you know, the purpose of the Ileana, as stated by the planners, was to alleviate some local transportation problems. And unfortunately, what they're doing is going to create problems. So, and create problems that are going to impact for the long, long haul. So,
yeah. Well, you know, once it's built, you can't unbuild it. That's the problem.
Exactly.
And so if you're going to build it, you don't rush it through. You let everybody talk about it. You get everybody on board. You get your why have a CMAP if you're not going to listen to them? OK,
exactly.
Why don't we just band it? We don't. You know what? Oh, it's so silly of us planning for the future. Oh, gosh. That's crazy talk. You know, you people are naive. Why are you doing that? I know. It's kind of the way I feel. So I want to thank you all for being in the studio today. Cindy Skruckrud from the Illinois Sierra Club, Andrew Armstrong from ELPC, and I know this could go on forever. Lauren Schaub from Medewin Heritage Association. What we're going to do is we're going to pay attention to this. And Cindy, I know you're always in touch, and I appreciate that.
Thanks. It's so important for people to be putting in comments through September 3rd.
And that's the point. Yeah, you've got a couple of weeks here.
Yep.
Make your comments. Make yourself heard. And maybe somebody will be listening there and do the right thing for a change.
Appreciate you having us on today, Mike. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Thanks very much, Mike.
All righty.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
All right, Lauren, you have a good Sunday, okay?
Bye now.
Bye-bye. And we'll talk, Andrew and Cindy, we'll talk again real soon. I saw my first monarch butterfly of the year on Friday. I mean, mine, in the city. You're not going to believe where I saw it. Okay, you might believe it, because it was at Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center, smack in the middle of the city at 2200 West Grand Avenue. Now, that butterfly wasn't dumb. It knew where to find quality flowers like black-eyed Susans and coneflowers and butterfly bushes. It probably also knew that if you buy any three flowering perennials, you get the fourth one free. Or if you buy 5 bags of mulch, you'll get one free. Or that their earth boxes are 30% off. Now, if you decide that you want Christy Weber Landscapes to put in a garden for you, she might not be able to guarantee that monarchs will be there every day, but given the care and expertise that Chrissy has shown for 2 decades, I wouldn't put it past her. Follow her on Facebook or go to ChristyWeber.com. And if you go to Facebook, Christy Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center, and it's all on your computer and it's right in your own backyard.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish Chicago's only local magazine dedicated to healthy and sustainable living. Natural Awakenings is available monthly, and we provide the latest news and trends about healthful living, including alternative and complementary medicine, fitness, good food and drink, healthy kids and families, and even healthy pets. Natural Awakenings also talks about local sustainability, gardening and environment, energy conservation, and green living. We feature local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that each month you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a service in your neighborhood, something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com.
Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
I love the fact that my team here is working with the folks who are in the studio to make sure it all gets up on Facebook and Twitter. Where's the link here? We got to get.
Well, because an important part is that the public commenting part to CMAP is until September 3rd. However, decisions won't be made until October. So we have, although September 3rd is around the corner for making official comment, it doesn't mean that we stop acting.
Okay.
So
we're going to get this. It will be on Twitter and on Facebook. We're putting this up. I've got information. I don't have the link to the action alert from Sierra Club on my website yet. But
it is on your Facebook page now.
It's on my Facebook page. So go to The Mike Novak Show. And while you're there, you can like me. You know, we're this close to 1,000. Let's get it up there. I'm not as fancy as people like Rob Greenfield, but I do my best. So I'm glad you guys are working on that. All right, real quick before Rob steps in here, and thank you guys.
Thank you.
I want to call to your attention, several weeks ago, I talked to Theo Watanabe, and who's a beekeeper in Skokie, about the, I've mentioned before, we've been talking a lot about bees. Whether it's the beekeeping or the effects of pesticides, and I do urge you to go to that podcast from last week's show when I had the experts on, Jeff Pettis from USDA and May Barenbaum from the University of Illinois, and the guy from Browning from North Dakota, who's a beekeeper. Moving forward, we talked several weeks ago about how Village of Skokie was about to consider a ban of backyard beekeeping. And I got some information this week that it looks like it's going to happen on Monday. And it's unfortunate.
The vote or the ban?
The vote, which will be for a ban.
And it's looking like it's going.
It sure looks like it. I've got the link there on my website. The operative phrase here, they're going to amend the language to the Skokie Village Code, Chapter 18, Animals. No person shall keep, harbor, or maintain any species which may endanger the safety of persons or property. This includes species other than commonly recognized domestic pets, which may harm or injure humans by injection of toxins, by stinging, by constriction or suffocation, or by vicious biting or mauling. Couldn't we ban pit bulls that way, too? Isn't that been done that way? Anyway, it is no defense to a violation of this subsection that the keeper of such species prohibited herein has attempted to domesticate such species, meaning that we don't care if you have the hives, you know, and that you maintain them in an orderly way. We're just going to ban them. And I think it's sad. I just think it's sad. I think that the village of Skokie is just marching backwards, you know, backwards into the 17th century. All it takes is one person. As far as I know, there was one person who complained. Boom, and then they get the people in the village get this CYI CYA mentality, rather. And then boom, you know, and then they enact these things that are basically out of fear. So if you're interested in that, I would go to my website and take a look at that. I've got the report from the village manager, which summarized the previous meeting and basically came to the conclusion that backyard bees are at best a nuisance and at worst a potential health hazard.
Forget the word pollinator.
Yeah, don't throw that in.
I mean, these people need to learn how to survive without pollinators, and then let's have the conversation.
So if you want to show up at the meeting, it'd be better if you're a resident of Skokie. But on the other hand, whatever, it's 8 p.m. tomorrow night at the Village Hall, 5127 Oakton in Skokie. 8 p.m., Village Hall, 5127 Oakton in Skokie. There will be a second reading of the ordinance. And then they will ban backyard bees. Isn't that special? Okay. Rob is in the studio. We will get to him. He might take his shirt off. I'm afraid. I'm.
Well, we have our own Rob, so listeners might be confused that this is Rob number two.
Well, I think we should have a contest, a bear shirt, take off your shirt contest. And just as you never know what's going to happen, and it's happening next on the Mike Novak Show.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green safe for your kids and pets. Start by raising the mowing height of your lawn, if you haven't done so already. Taller grass is better able to compete with the weeds. Mow often, removing only one-third of the total height, and leave the clippings on the lawn. Consider using a push or electric mower. It's good for the waistline and the environment. Further improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems with proper fertilization. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn your lawn, even in hot, dry weather. Plus, you don't need to water it in. And the non-staining iron helps maintain the deep green color even in the heat of summer. So join the professionals and home gardeners who've trusted Milorganite for over 80 years. Use Milorganite for better results naturally.
Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Wow, we're getting interesting stories here. Okay. Rob, have it. This and then Rob. And so first, let me give you a tip from the Care of Trees. We talked about it in the first hour. Water management. You didn't think you're going to have to do it this year, but yes, you do. Surprise! To reduce the risk from a shortage of water, watch for signs of moisture stress, such as wilting leaves. It's more effective to prevent moisture stress and fix it after the fact. Use a soaker hose or oscillating sprinkler. Trees like to be deeply watered and then allow the soil to mostly dry out before watering again. You heard Skeet say that in the first hour. Here are some guidelines. Water 1 to 2 inches of water per week in the absence of rainfall, or 5 minutes per inch of trunk diameter. Water the area under the tree canopy. If using an oscillator sprinkler, place a sprinkler next to the tree trunk so that it sprays outward, and set the sprinkler so that the water doesn't really go blasting the trunk. When one side is watered, move the sprinkler to the other side of the trunk. And remember that too much water can be just as harmful as not enough water. Contact a certified arborist at the Care of Trees for your tree needs. Call 800-508-9466 for a free consultation. 800-508-9466, or go to thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. See, it occurred to me with Rob in the studio, Rob Greenfield, that we got to play I Want Candy. But, and so this is for Lisa and Sarah, especially. Rob, sidle up to the microphone. How are you there?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me. It's a beautiful day.
It is. And you rode your bike down, but you didn't ride the bamboo bike.
No, and I actually didn't end up riding my bike.
Whoa, no, what happened?
Because I'm doing something else today.
Oh.
A campaign called $7 in 7 hours in Chicago.
Which is what?
Which means I left my house with $7 in my pocket, and I cannot spend it on myself, and I have 7 hours of wandering around just living. And with the clothes on my back.
Wait. Now, where do you find these things to do? You ride your bike across the country on a bamboo bike for 4,500 miles off the grid, drinking water out of leaking fire hydrants. And then, now, how did you get in this $7 thing?
To be honest, what happened was a girl contacted me on Facebook who goes to DePaul University, and she was inspired by some of my stories, wants to start living a simpler life.
Uh-huh.
And a life where you can be happy with just what you have. And so she approached me and I said, hey, let's hit the streets tomorrow. I'll show you how to live with no money and we'll have some fun. Well, she ended up getting the flu or food poisoning, and so now I'm on my own today.
Oh, boy.
So $7, 7 hours, and I can only spend these $7 on other people.
Well, what about lunch?
Lunch I'll have to find.
I mean, that's my biggest concern.
All right, because we don't have a lot of time, but you are used to that because you just did this Across America tour where you said, define living off the grid as you did this. You did this off the grid. How many days did it take you to?
104 days on the road.
Okay.
And so the idea was, I use the term off the grid across America, but what it really came down to was having the lowest environmental impact as I possibly could for the entire ride.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took resourcefulness. It wasn't always a clear-cut path, do this way, do this way. Mm-hmm. It just came down to, all right, I need food, but I'm not going to have a negative impact on the environment. How am I going to get food? And that came down to either buying local organic food from farmers markets, visiting farms, or eating food from the dumpsters behind grocery stores, mm-hmm, because there's no negative environmental impact by doing that.
And a lot of people do the dumpster diving, and I know people go, ew, how can you, you're going to die. Well, no, not really. You're not. Okay.
Totally.
I mean, this guy's in great shape. Of course, mostly that has to do with the bicycle and not dumpster diving, but, you know, it's and energy, you had solar panels?
Yep. So the rule.
You're going to make Lisa happy with this.
So let me tell you the 5 rules of the road. First was that I could only use electricity that I created myself, which was mostly via solar panels.
Mm-hmm.
Second was that I can only drink water from natural sources, such as lakes, rivers, and rain, or wells, or that was going to waste, such as leaky faucets or fire hydrants. Third was that I could only eat locally grown, organic, unpackaged food or food going to waste. Fourth was create near zero trash, which I only created 2 pounds for the entire 104 days.
And then you schlepped it with you?
The whole way. Yep. I had it with me all the way until about a week ago.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the last was I could only shop at businesses that practiced social and environmental responsibility.
And you must have that list in advance, I assume.
That was the most challenging as a consumer, being able to tell whether a business is practicing those.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes you don't know. They say they are, and sometimes it's greenwashing.
Yep. So for me, it came down to going to the farmer, going to the individual local stores, and really just keeping things simple, not having to buy a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly am not anti-capitalist in any way, but I am for supporting businesses that are doing things in a way that's good for the people, good for the planet, and also good for themselves and their employees.
Mm-hmm. And it's all for a good cause. I mean, I want to make sure you get your charities out here. Yeah, I mean, you've got, you know, your Greenfield Adventures, and if you want to see more information, go to my website, mikenovak.net, and link. But you're going to go to www.greenfieldadventures.org.
Yep.
But you're also supporting the 1% for the planet.
Yeah, so I'm an ambassador for 1% for the planet. And really, the whole mission of this trip was to inspire Americans to start living a happier, healthier life for themselves, for the earth, and for their community. It's that simple. It's not about supporting any nonprofit or business. It just comes down to us as individuals taking action, doing what we know is right, and starting to live the lives that we really want to. But one way that I could get people involved was by giving them the opportunity to donate funds to nonprofits who can do great work with the money. And mm-hmm. So I work with 1% for the Planet, which is a network of businesses that give 1% of their revenue to environmental groups that do great work.
And you can find that information on my website. Okay. And I apologize. This came up rather quickly this week that, you know, you were in town and you're going to be leaving town. And I said, okay, I'll squeeze him in the show. Let's get him on the show because I wanted to talk. But I want people to do that and see because you got lots of videos up there about your trip and lots of press. I mean, you've been all over the place. So, yep. You know, this little tidy little show is not going to make any difference to you.
Oh,
but,
no,
I'm glad you came down. All right. Here's what he's going to. I want you to take the shirt off, okay? All right.
I got
the camera.
All right. Let me tell you, Chicago, if you're out and about today, you can look for me. I'll be in a blue shirt that says Another Best Day if
right,
I'm
and
wearing
it. And I'm taking
it.
Photos here. All right.
And
Lisa, get in that shot.
A green Patagonia hat, and I'm not wearing any shoes. So if you see me wandering around Chicago today, come say hi.
Oh, wait, now I've got to fall in the shot. You know, this is live, I'll have you know, all right?
And maybe we can eat an apple today if you can find me.
I hope one of those is in focus. Well, Rob Greenfield, I want to thank you for being here. When we end the show, I always say go green, and you guys say go home, okay? So are you ready? Go green or
go home.
Love it.